Tonight, the horrific bridge collapse here in Baltimore, the search for victims, the investigation tonight. How could this happen? The stunning new images showing the moment a massive container ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge here in Baltimore, plunging the bridge into the river. Authorities on their radios just moments before sending out warnings to keep drivers off the bridge, and then the collapse.
The whole bridge just collapsed.
The ship going dark just moments before impact, the crew issuing a mayday, an 8-person road crew still on the bridge when it went down, 2 people rescued, 6 still unaccounted for. And tonight, what we have just learned here about the ship. Just moments ago, my interview with Maryland Governor Wes Moore. What happened in the moments before that collision. And our team here in Baltimore with the history of this ship. The crash just a couple of years back. Also tonight, the high-stakes battle over the abortion pill following the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. The court now deciding whether to restrict the abortion pill across this country. What the justices said today, what they signaled already. Rachel Scott at the Supreme Court. Tonight, the federal raids at the homes of Sean Diddy Combs in Los Angeles and Miami, and sources tonight now telling ABC News this is a sex trafficking investigation involving Combs. Tonight, with federal authorities seized in those homes. Tonight, Donald Trump facing mounting legal bills and that bond now due in 9 days. Tonight, Donald Trump revealing he is now selling Bibles, charging $59.99. In New York City tonight, the subway rider accused of intentionally shoving a subway rider in front of the train onto the tracks. Tonight, news coming in of the arrest. We're tracking severe storms across several states tonight, lightning and damaging winds. Heavy rain also moving up the East Coast, Florida, right up through Washington, D.C., Philadelphia to New York City, and we'll time it out. And the heroes here in Baltimore who put out the emergency call just moments before the bridge came down here to keep drivers off the bridge. They saved countless lives.
From ABC News, this is ABC World News Tonight with David Muir, reporting tonight from Baltimore Harbor, Maryland.
And good evening tonight from Baltimore Harbor, Maryland. We are here at the scene of the catastrophic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge here in Baltimore. You can actually see the cargo ship right here behind me. That's the ship itself. And then right next to it, that hole in the skyline where the bridge once was, that massive cargo ship smashing into the bridge around 1:30 in the morning here, the bridge collapsing right into the harbor waters. The ship had alerted harbor authorities to an emergency. They had lost power, police quickly blocking traffic at both ends, saving lives just before the collision and then collapse. But an 8-man maintenance crew was on the work at the bridge. 2 workers survived this, an urgent search all day for 6 of those workers. A live stream camera capturing the stunning moments before the collapse, the ship losing power, the lights going out, then slamming into a bridge support. And that awful moment, the 1.6-mile-long bridge completely fails and collapses. When the sun came up here this morning, the stunning images coming into focus, the tangled metal draped over the ship. And all day long here, the massive search and rescue effort. The Coast Guard, the NTSB, fire departments, and first responders all on the scene here. FBI divers probing the waters, sonar detecting vehicles underwater. At this hour, Baltimore has declared a state of emergency, President Biden promising to rebuild the bridge, asking Congress to help. And tonight, what we're now learning from the investigation already, the history of this cargo ship, my interview with the governor of Maryland just moments ago here. But first tonight, the terrifying images, moments before the collision, and then what brought this bridge down. Gio Benitez leading us off here in Baltimore.
Tonight, the image is shocking and devastating. A massive, nearly 1,000-foot cargo container ship losing power and ramming into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yo!
The 1.6 miles long bridge crashing down in just seconds, plunging into the Patapsco River overnight.
The Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, just got hit by a cargo ship.
Baltimore's mayor declaring a state of emergency. The Coast Guard, the NTSB, and the FBI all on the scene. The intense urgent search and rescue efforts underway. Sonar detecting vehicles underwater. First responders, fire departments, and Coast Guard teams all rushing to the scene in the immediate aftermath. Searching through the overnight hours in the freezing water, and they have not stopped. Maryland's Governor Wes Moore.
This is very much still a search and rescue mission. We are still actively looking for survivors, and that's the pledge we've made to these families. And there is not a single resource that we will hold off on deploying.
Rescuers finding two people alive, one of them hospitalized. Six are still unaccounted for, all believed to be construction workers on the bridge at the time, working to repair potholes.
Eight construction workers were on the bridge, according to the construction worker.
Construction worker Jesus Campos says he knows some of the team working on that bridge.
Eso nos pegó muy duro.
That was really hard, Jesus says. We are colleagues from work and friends.
We pray for the construction workers who are on the Key Bridge, and we pray for everyone who has been touched by this tragedy.
Tonight, we're learning moments before the crash, the ship issued an urgent mayday, allowing quick-thinking police to block traffic on the bridge.
Hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering.
The officers then planning to get the construction crew off that bridge before it collapsed.
The whole bridge just fell down. Everybody. The whole bridge just collapsed.
The quick work of law enforcement, who kept more vehicles from coming onto the bridge, they undoubtedly saved innumerable amount of lives.
It all happened just before 1:30 this morning. You can see cars crossing over the bridge just moments before impact. Video timestamps on this live stream footage showing the ship's lights went off at 1:24 a.m. before turning back on a minute later. Then thick black smoke begins pouring out of the top of the ship. 1:26 a.m., the power turning off again and then back on at 1:27. At 1:28 a.m., you can see the last cars driving over that bridge. And about 30 seconds later, the ship rams into one of the bridge's supports, bringing down the entire bridge. Officials say the ship was moving at 8 knots, roughly 9 miles per hour, much faster than they should have been. So tonight, the major questions. What happened on this cargo ship in the final moments before the collapse? The pilot at the controls is currently undergoing post-accident drug and alcohol testing. It was a local pilot specializing in navigating the port, not part of the ship's crew driving the ship. The cargo ship, named Dolly, was heading from Baltimore to Sri Lanka, flying a Singapore flag. This screen recording from maritime data provider Marine Traffic shows Dolly's track as it approached and collided with the Key Bridge. You can see Dolly veered slightly to the right at this point before hitting the bridge. The FBI saying a preliminary investigation suggests the crash was an accident and that there's no credible evidence of a terrorist attack. A short time ago, President Biden promising to rebuild.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. We're not leaving until this job gets done.
And David, officials say they are not giving up on those construction workers with their families, those heartbroken families still awaiting word tonight. Meanwhile, the mayor here has announced a prayer vigil. David.
Gio Benitez right here in Baltimore with us tonight. Gio, thank you. We turn now to the federal investigation already underway and what we're learning about this ship and its history and a crash it was involved in just a couple of years back. Terry Moran, also right here in Baltimore tonight.
This is the moment that the 95,000-ton cargo ship, the Dolly, was getting perilously close to Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. You can see the power flicker on and off seconds before disaster. Now the urgent investigation into how the crash occurred and if the crew could have done anything more to avoid it. ABC News has obtained records showing the Dolly, built in 2015, had at least two documented issues in the past. A June 2023 inspection found a deficiency for propulsion and auxiliary machinery concerning gauges, thermometers, etc. And in 2016, after the ship was involved in a previous crash in Belgium, inspectors issued a deficiency for structural conditions concerning hull damage impairing seaworthiness. This image, taken in Belgium, shows the moment in 2016 that the ship hit a wall. As for the Baltimore Bridge, that 1.6-mile-long span opened in 1977. Experts say it was likely not designed to withstand a crash like the one that occurred overnight.
Once the pier is hit, it just falls vertically down, you know, which would give every indication that either the boat knocked the bridge off of its supports, so it lost the support that way, or literally destroyed that first concrete pier and it lost the support altogether.
In this satellite photo, you can see the protective piers on the power lines running parallel to the bridge, clearly visible. But Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg at a press conference on the scene was skeptical piers would have made any difference.
I do not know of a bridge that has been constructed to withstand a direct impact from a vessel of this size.
850,000 cars and trucks flowed into the port of Baltimore last year, making it the nation's busiest for U.S. auto imports. Tonight, facing the possibility of a prolonged shutdown, the big three automakers are diverting shipments to other ports as needed.
Maritime experts tell us that the main focus of the investigation is likely to be on why that ship suddenly lost power. They say fire on board, computer system malfunctions, even bad fuel are all possible explanations. And they say investigators will also carefully scrutinize those videos showing the moments of catastrophic collapse. David?
So many important questions tonight. Terry Moran, our thanks to you as well. Just a short time ago here, I spoke with Maryland Governor Wes Moore here on the scene all day. I asked the governor if authorities know anything about what happened in those crucial moments right before the collision. Governor Moore, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, we stand here with the bridge collapse right behind us, and you can't help but to think about those workers and the families who have not given up hope all day.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this view, it just looks so foreign. Ever since I've been alive, the Key Bridge has been there. And I remember when I first got the phone call in the middle of the night saying the Key Bridge is gone. It takes your breath away. And then immediately you start thinking about these families. You start thinking about the workers, the families who said goodbye to them with the full expectation they were going to come home. And so these first responders who have just been spending literally from the middle of the night last night continually working in a search and rescue mission, not just my heart goes out to them, but I'm in complete awe of these first responders as well.
Governor, I know the investigation already underway tonight. We saw those final images, the cargo ship. You saw the lights go off, come back on, go off again, and then what appeared to be a turn at the last minute. Do we have any idea if that pilot and that apprentice were trying to avoid the bridge or what happened in those final moments?
Yeah, I mean, the investigation is still going on, but all the indications are showing that that they had lost the ability to steer and that they were trying to navigate the ship. And we're talking about a massive vessel moving at a quick clip. And so even as they were trying to move, any forms of deviation in one direction or another could have the potential of having catastrophic impacts, which it did last night.
I really have to give a shout out to the police, the authorities who saw the ship approaching the bridge and did the all call to say, try to halt the traffic, any more traffic coming on the bridge. They saved lives.
These people are heroes. I mean, there are people who made it home to their families last night because our first responders responded in the way that they did. Because by them holding vehicles and keeping vehicles off of that bridge, moments before the bridge fell, they literally saved countless lives last night.
Governor, I understand the pilot who was on that ship undergoing the testing that's mandatory after an accident like this one. How soon could we get some answers about what happened in those final moments?
Yeah, I know we're pushing to get answers as quickly as possible. Where, you know, our number one priority right now is both search and rescue and then providing healing to these families, to this community, to a city that is truly heartbroken. The other thing that I know and people can know from me is I and our administration is going to be fully committed to making sure that we rebuild and we take care of these families and take care of this community.
Governor Wes Moore, Governor of Maryland, thank you for joining us here tonight. I know it's been a very difficult day here.
Thank you so much.
Governor, thank you.
Thank you.
My interview with the governor just before we came on the air tonight, and we will have much more on the bridge collapse here in a moment. But we do move on now to the other major news this Tuesday night. The Supreme Court facing the biggest test yet on the issue of abortion since the court overturned Roe 2 years ago. The court now deciding whether to restrict the abortion pill in this country and what the justices signaled already today. Rachel Scott at the Supreme Court tonight.
Tonight, hundreds of protesters descending on the Supreme Court as the justices hear arguments in the most consequential abortion case since Roe v. Wade was overturned. The court considering whether to roll back access to the abortion pill mifepristone, used in more than half of abortions in the U.S. A group of doctors opposed to abortion rights, arguing that if a woman taking the pill needs emergency care, it would put a doctor who opposes abortion in a terrible position.
These are life-threatening situations in which the choice for a doctor is either to scrub out and try to find someone else or to treat the woman.
But the Justice Department argued that doctors who brought the lawsuit have no grounds to sue.
FDA is not requiring them to do or refrain from doing anything. They aren't required to treat women who take mifepristone. FDA is not directing the women who take the drug to go seek out care from these specific doctors.
And today, a majority of the justices seem deeply skeptical of the effort to further restrict the drug.
I'm worried that there is a significant mismatch in this case between the claimed injury and the remedy that's being sought. What they're asking for here is that in order to prevent them from possibly ever having to do these kinds of procedures, everyone else should be prevented from getting access to this medication.
Even conservative justices like Neil Gorsuch, nominated by Donald Trump, also sounding uneasy with limiting access to the pill.
And this case seems like a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other federal government action.
The only two justices who seemed inclined to side with the anti-abortion doctors and further restrict access to mifepristone, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito.
What's on the line here? Access to the abortion pill by mail without multiple trips to the doctor and up until 10 weeks of pregnancy. The FDA calls this safe and effective. The Supreme Court expected to make a decision in June. David.
Rachel Scott at the Supreme Court tonight. Rachel, thank you. Tonight here we have new reporting after the federal raids at the homes of Sean Diddy Combs in Los Angeles and Miami. Sources tonight now telling ABC News this is a sex trafficking investigation involving Combs. And this evening, what federal authorities have now seized in those homes. Here's Victor Akendo.
Tonight, ABC News has confirmed that federal agents seized multiple electronic devices from Sean Combs' L.A. and Miami mansions, and sources tell ABC News that the music and entertainment mogul is the target of a federal sex trafficking investigation. Combs' plane flying from California to Antigua, but it's not clear if Combs was on board. Video obtained by TMZ hours before that plane landed shows Combs pacing outside Miami's Opa-locka Airport.
We going up, we going live.
The three-time Grammy winner has been the subject of multiple civil lawsuits accusing him of rape and other sexual misconduct. Last month, his ex-music producer, Rodney Jones, sued for $30 million, saying Combs groped, harassed, and threatened him, and was engaged in a widespread and dangerous criminal sex trafficking organization. Jones claims surveillance video inside Combs' homes recorded many of the incidents listed in his suit.
The allegations in it could have paved the way to create probable cause for law enforcement to get that search warrant to search Sean Combs' home.
And just moments ago, Diddy's attorney saying in a statement, Mr. Combs is innocent and called this a witch hunt. David?
Victor Akendo reporting tonight. Victor, thank you. Overseas and in Russia tonight, American journalist Evan Gershkovitz losing his court appeal in Moscow. The Wall Street Journal reporter wrongly detained for nearly a year now, the court rejecting his request to be released, ordering him to remain behind bars until at least June 30th. Russia accusing him of collecting state secrets for the U.S. American Ambassador Lynn Tracy again calling the allegations categorically untrue. When we come back here tonight in New York City this evening, the suspect accused of intentionally shoving a subway rider onto the tracks in front of a train, news of an arrest. Donald Trump now selling Bibles. What he's charging.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Tonight, a suspect has been arrested, accused of intentionally shoving a man to his death in front of an oncoming subway in New York City. Carlton McPherson has been charged with murder. Police say Jason Voles was pushed in front of an approaching 4 train at the 125th Street and Lexington Avenue station in East Harlem. Authorities say it was unprovoked. Tonight, Donald Trump facing mounting legal bills, now revealing he is selling Bibles, charging $59.99 a Bible. This is a licensing deal. Trump will collect royalties, meaning some of the proceeds from the Bible sales will go directly to Trump. Tonight, severe storms across several states, lightning and damaging winds expected in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Heavy rain up the East Coast from Florida to Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, right into New York City tomorrow. Before we go, when we arrived here in Baltimore, a young man said to me, the whole city is feeling this. This bridge was a symbol of Baltimore. The Francis Scott Key Bridge opened in 1977. About 31,000 vehicles crossed the bridge every day. Tonight, this image, a family holding their child along the river's edge, overlooking the bridge that stood here for more than 4 decades. I'm David Muir in Baltimore. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.